Good morning, everybody.
Morning.
I've been sitting back there looking at the sun coming through this window, really looking forward to coming up here and standing in it. it's been a bit of a chilly morning. This morning we left Waiuku nice and early. It was negative 2 degrees on the car's thermometer. And we had to scrape the ice off before we got moving, so that's just chilly. Not a fan of winter. Anyway, thank you very much for having Kim and I here. It's really nice to travel around, and one thing that I've really kind of noticed this week is just appreciating the community that we have in our own ecclesias, and that we've got this network of ecclesias and we can come and meet together. And it's always uplifting, and it's always nice meeting new people and building relationships with our brothers and sisters. I'm going to start my exhortation today in a bit of a strange place. So we're going to start by going through the simple basic principles that we apply when crossing the road. So crossing the road is probably something we all do pretty frequently. We probably don't really pay too much attention to it. It's something that we're taught when we're very young. And generally we stick to that, and it does us well throughout life. So when we are crossing the road, the first thing we look for is our desired destination, where we want to be on the other side of the road. So that could be a friend, it could be to get to work or a shop, it could be anything. So once you've spotted your desired location on the other side of the road, you look for how you're going to get across. So you might look for a pedestrian crossing, you might look for the pedestrian crossing at lights, or you might just look for the quickest point to get across safely. Now, when you arrive at your starting point, you walk up to the curb and you look both ways. You make sure you look left and you make sure you look right. Even when you'll find when you come up to a one-way street, you always look both ways anyway. Even when you're across, I find that I'm looking both ways as I cross as well, just in case I got it wrong that it wasn't a one-way street. So once you've looked and both directions look clear, you step out onto the road, and as you walk across, you continue to keep looking just to make sure there are no hazards that you might not have spotted initially. And when you finally get to the other side of the road, you step up onto the curb, and generally that's mission complete. Pretty straightforward, you're across the road. So a successful street crossing is one in which you generally arrive on the other side of the road in roughly the same condition as you left the original side of the road in. So if you come into contact with any cars, trucks, or lightly clad cyclists, you've failed to successfully cross the road. So you might be wondering where this is going, and I'm not about to tell you yet. So a few weeks ago, I was privileged enough to travel to Vietnam with work, which was a really fantastic experience. There was an intoxicating array of sights, sounds, and experiences, and brand new flavors as well. It was really, really quite exciting. So we did the country pretty quickly. We spent some time in the capital city of Hanoi. We cruised through Ha Long Bay, which is a World Heritage Site. And while it was beautiful, I think we're really spoiled here in New Zealand. We've got some pretty stunning places that I'm afraid Ha Long Bay couldn't actually compete with, but it was nice. We sampled the cuisine in Hoi An, which was absolutely amazing. And then we enjoyed the fusion of the French and Vietnamese culture in Ho Chi Minh City, which was really quite spectacular. So, but the one experience that really stuck with me going all the way to Vietnam was actually just the simple act of crossing the road. So crossing the road in Vietnam is unlike any other experience I've ever had. So applying the aforementioned strategy of how to safely get across the road in New Zealand is a surefire way to make sure you get the most out of your insurance policy and free accommodation in the local hospital. So traffic lands a rough indications of which direction you might want to travel. No one really applies the rules, or I'm not even sure if there are any rules. Pretty much traffic lights at intersections were more for atmosphere, and pedestrian crossings seem to do nothing to the traffic at all. So you have thousands and thousands of motorcycles and scooters zooming by with entire families on them. I saw one with mum, dad, three very small children and Nana hanging on the back just to pick up any that fell off. So it's absolutely quite a foreign experience to what we're used to here in New Zealand. So as you can imagine, we were pretty nervous about getting across the street, and we tried to avoid it for as long as we possibly could, but travelling all the way to Ho Chi Minh City and only exploring a single block would have been a little bit of a waste. So we did eventually muster up the courage to attempt a road crossing. We did have a local guide with us as well, and he was fantastic. And he explained the process of crossing the road in Vietnam, which was quite different. And given the level of chaos on the streets, the process for crossing the road was actually surprisingly simple. So first, you, as you do in New Zealand, you spot your desired location on the other side of the street. Secondly, you approach the curb. And finally, you step out onto the road, looking directly at your destination, being sure not to look left or right. So it might seem pretty peculiar, and against all natural instinct, you just have to ignore the armada of mopeds that are flying your way and just keep walking towards your destination, neither speeding up nor slowing down. So if you look around to see what's heading your way, you're likely to either hesitate and slow or dart ahead. Both options most likely end with you being hit by one or several of the other motorbikes that were planning a narrow route around you based on your original pace. So I remember crossing the road at one point and kind of laughing to myself and thinking that this is a really extremely literal example of 2 Corinthians 5 verse 7, and that was a wonderful hymn to open with. The verse is the one where it talks about walking by faith and not by sight. Now the faith element in crossing the street in Vietnam is just trusting the tens of other motorists to see you and adjust their course accordingly. Despite a very deep urge within myself to look left and right to identify hazards coming towards me, I needed to stay focused on where I was heading and disregard most of what was going on around me. So the Bible tells us that we are to walk by faith and not by sight. This experience got me thinking, and while 2 Corinthians 5 verse 7 did immediately spring into my mind, I found myself pondering what that actually means to us in real life terms, how it actually impacts on our life day to day. So this morning I want to look into faith a little bit, what faith is, what it means to us, not obviously that it just brings us here on a Sunday, how it changes the way that we perceive the world around us, that we perceive world events, and the way that we interact with others around us. So put simply, in Hebrews 11 verse 1, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. So all baptized brothers and sisters sitting here today and meeting across ecclesias throughout the world were probably, I hope, compelled to be baptized through faith. So we're sure of what we hope for and we're certain of what we do not see. And we come here to share in our mutual faith and to gain encouragement from each other. In the New Testament, both faith and belief are generally translations of the Greek word pistis, the implication being that our faith makes us believers and followers of Christ. And while none of us have ever seen Jesus, we have the Bible that teaches us who the Son of God is, his role, and also God's plan for the earth. So as Christadelphians, one thing we do pretty well is, I guess, our doctrine. We generally have a pretty thorough understanding of what we believe. And I think it's just from the history of Christadelphia and where we came from that it was always important to know what we believed and to be able to back that up. So I do think that is something that we're pretty good at doing. And when I was looking into this exhortation, I did spend some time looking into the original Christadelphian statement of faith. And to be honest, bar a Sunday school lesson years and years ago, I don't think I've looked into it since. So it was just a really nice exercise just to refresh and get reacquainted with it. I can recommend, if you've got a few minutes in your own time, just to glance over it, and it was quite a useful exercise for me. So we do have a clear faith, and in Hebrews 11 verse 10, we read that Abraham and the faithful were looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. So like the faithful, we have a really clear goal ahead of us. So with that in mind, we'll look at how our faith does influence the way that we interact with the world and the way that we perceive what happens. Now, because we believe that there is a very specific plan for the world and for mankind, we're blessed with the privilege of not having to worry about tomorrow, which is really, really nice. So Jesus reminds us in Matthew 6, verse 25, "Do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear." Continuing in verse 34, there's that verse that I'm sure we're all quite familiar with. He says, "Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself." And I find that quite a useful verse to reflect on, when I'm worrying about tomorrow, which does happen quite frequently. So there are two elements to what Jesus has said to us here. It's don't worry about your life. So that's the immediate and micro issues that we experience day to day. The next is to not worry about tomorrow, and I sort of interpret that as the bigger picture, not worrying about the world around us. And so when we look at worrying about food and drink and clothing and shelter, they're all immediate aspects of our lives. And we all have very different trials and concerns that face us every single day. We can have financial issues, we can have relationship issues, spiritual issues, all sorts. And walking by faith certainly does not allow, well, does not make our problems go away. Food's very important, and without shelter you wouldn't survive long, especially with mornings like this. And we do need clothes. And absolutely, the stress that we do experience in day-to-day life is very valid, and it will have an impact on us, no matter how faithful we are. It will be a big part of our lives, no doubt. So having faith does not make us immune to the daily pressure of life. However, walking by faith requires us to acknowledge that God has a plan and that God will look after us. So we need to have enough faith to hand our problems over to God. And we've got to remember that God is the one who created us, and he knows exactly what we need. So that's quite reassuring in itself. And I think one of the most powerful aspects of faith is that it puts everything into context for us. And so while we do have issues, and they may seem extremely complex and prominent in your life at that time, our faith reminds us that God is there for us. And that, I find, always greatly lessens, I guess, the severity of the stress that you're going through at the time, and hopefully reduces the time that you spend in a stressed state. So we have faith that Jesus will return and that God's kingdom will be set up on earth. And Jesus reminds us in Matthew chapter 24, verse 6, that in the last days you'll hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. So while the picture that Jesus paints there does sound particularly terrifying, it's not there to scare us. It's actually there to comfort us. So we know that these things will come to pass, and they are all part of God's plan. And one thing I often find myself pondering this as well is, imagine that you have no faith, and imagine that you never heard of the hope of Israel. Imagine that you'd never opened the Bible. And then imagine sitting and watching the 6 o'clock news every single day. And I think that would really change the way you perceive things. And I sort of figure you'll go one of two ways. You'll either spend your life freaking out about whether global warming will get you, whether there's an asteroid coming within 5 kilometers of the Earth's atmosphere. You never know, maybe it might be ISIS. You'd be in quite a stressed state. Or the flip side to that, and you see a lot of people in this trap as well, is that they just seek to just bury themselves in sort of hedonistic pursuits and consumerism. They just kind of just, they don't like asking the question, and they just live in the moment, which is quite a big thing. So for us, we need to walk boldly. So our faith should enable us to walk with boldness and a confidence that only a believer can have. So going back to my opening analogy, keep focused on your destination and ignore the trivial distractions along the way. We read in 2 Corinthians 4, verses 17 and 18, "For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all." So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. What is seen is temporary, and what is unseen is eternal. So we know that we need to be able to distinguish between what is temporary and what is eternal. And if we can do that, it allows us to make much better decisions in life. Walking by faith means that God directs our lives. We have so many examples in Hebrews 11 of the faithful. And everything that these people did and everything that they remembered for was done in faith. So it should be needless to say that our destination is God's kingdom. And we're all walking as individuals, but we're also walking together as ecclesias of believers. So as we continue our walk in faith, and we remember our Lord Jesus Christ who showed us the way, putting off the temporary and remembering the eternal. Now, the sharing of the emblems that we have today as well is yet another act of faith. And it's an encouraging reminder of God's love for us. And as we do go our separate ways this afternoon, let us continue walking by faith. And let us continue with a renewed passion and enthusiasm. Thank you.